Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The OG of Jets podcasting and blogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Play Like a Jet Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year. I'm your host, Brian Bassett. And with me, as always, are Josh Conrad, the Preacher Man, and James Beard semifinalist award nominee, Travis Milton.
Let's go. That's our guy.
Let's go, Travis. Come on. Let's go. We've been waiting for this. This is exciting. Talk to us about being nominated for the James Beard Award.
It's crazy. Like, I'm legit still wrapping my head around it. The finalists are announced next Wednesday. We're recording on the 26th of March, which is a Tuesday. April 3rd. So everybody keep your fingers crossed.
Can we go spam like the James Beard Award Foundation? Would that be helpful to you if we just send a lot of Twitters?
It's an internal voting structure of people coming to the restaurant, eating, there's no popularity contest involved in it, so that wouldn't really, I think.
Is there a main frame that we can hack, and Brian and I are the mystery diners down at the farm?
Let's go that route. I'm gonna rest on the laurels I've created and say, I feel like I've created a good body of work over the past 20 plus years. And
my team is on the field, is what he's saying.
Yep, 100%.
My team is on the court.
Speaking of your team being on the court, Joshy, Husky boy, what is going on? Are you loving life right now? What is up?
UConn, 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 UConn. I feel tremendous. This is the greatest 2-year run in my UConn fandom history of 40 years. Wow. Obviously a bunch of national titles, a lot of really incredible moments. They've never won a title and then made the Sweet 16. So 5 national titles the year after, none of them even made it to the second weekend of the tournament. UConn is smoking every team they get to play. Thursday in Boston is going to be another home game. We were in Brooklyn this last weekend at Barclays, shipping up to Boston for San Diego State, and then winner of Illinois, Iowa State. The road looks good. The road looks good. So foot on gas, as Dan Hurley would say, keep foot on gas. That's exactly how he said it. We're cruising for another title back to back. Let's go, baby.
Let's go. All right, stores, get on it. Okay, gentlemen, we're here because I was traveling the globe last week, and Scott was blowing up my phone asking for a free agency review. So we're going to do that.
But before we go through the 2024 Jets free agency review, and then we'll talk a little drafty talk, which is always fun. I want to go a year back. I want to talk about the free agency that was 2023 for the New York Jets, and just to remind us of where we were a year ago. So I'm going to pull up here. This is the list. So I think the best thing to do is let's just go through one by one, and then we can just, you know, freeform, you know, jazz riff, whatever, you know.
Giddly bebop, freestyle.
Yeah, you got it. we can freestyle. So first up,
Little Louis
first up, baby, Tim Boyle.
I was going David Lee Roth.
Yep. So Tim Boyle, water boy Tim Boyle. How are we feeling about Tim Boyle and his time with the Jets and the fact that he was there in Florham Park in 2023? Travis.
I'll never speak poorly of a Connecticut boy. Did not want to see him on the field, but love Tim Boyle for life. Nutmeg.
I will absolutely speak trash about a Connecticut boy because you saw his pizza rankings and it was a war crime. That was Geneva Code level bad. It was barbecue chicken pizza ranch was the top. It was like that was like number one or something. I blocked it out of my memory. It was so bad.
Actually, now that you say it, Orlovsky once said, it was like 6 months ago, his favorite Connecticut pizzeria was Colony. Which Colony's fine. Like, Stanford, Fairfield County, I love some Colony bar pizza. To put it in the pantheon of the top three in the world and put it ahead of them, Orlovsky and Boyle, your pizza takes are terrible.
Yeah, it's not holding any water against any kind of a pizza up there.
Right. A pizza. All right, fair enough. All right, next up was Quentin Jefferson.
Hold on. I got one thing about Boyle.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you kicked off with him because I feel like Tim Boyle is the epitome of what the 2023 free agent class was. Complete and utter arrogance. We were one player away from the Super Bowl and that was Aaron. So it doesn't matter one fucking bit who was backing him up.
Right.
It doesn't matter if, you know, Ty Johnson get, you know, right. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, until it matters on the fifth play of the season.
Oops.
Oh crap. Okay. Quentin Jefferson. Any big comments we want to say about Quentin Jefferson?
He was a great rotational guy. Good veteran presence. I really hope that they had re-signed him. Kind of slipped through.
A lot
of
1 year deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a lot of 1 year deals. Here's the next one. You're gonna love this one. Nicole Hardman. Hardman. LaSauce, what do you got to say?
The rat.
I'm going to give him props because apparently the game plans he gave out, you know, like we won those games. So
he was still right. His Oz the Mentalist prediction was right. He was going to play in the Super Bowl against the Niners, caught a game-winning, Super Bowl-winning touchdown.
Yep.
That's Nicole did.
But
it was true for him. The question
was true for him.
It was true for one person in the Super Bowl.
That's true. It's a good point. Ty Johnson. We're moving on. We're moving on to bigger fish. Oh, this is for you, Travis. Wes Schweitzer, baby. He agreed to a 2-year, $5 million deal.
I took a shit on that signing when it happened, and I'd gladly take a second shit on top of that shit made up of the shit that I already shit. So I would literally eat shit to shit out shit onto the shit.
Travis has like 3 months of cuss words to get out of his system on this pod. He's got a backlog.
Get a reservoir.
Pen up with the dog shit.
Anything to add there, Josh? I think that was pretty good.
That was a professional insider's offensive lineman take. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right. Next one's for you, Josh. Alan Lazard, 4-year, $44 million deal. Let's go.
Can Travis, if you have anything left back there to evacuate from your body, it would be nice.
Saving it for Kristen Cologne. I know he's coming at some point.
But right on to this guy as well. This is the contract that just will not die. Like it feels already like a Bobby Bonilla contract, and it's only 1 year in.
Yeah. Just every day for the rest of your life, you just get this. Yeah. You got it right, Travis. You know what I'm reading from. So the article up next is, I got to just say quickly on Alan Lazard, like, I was bullish on this signing just because I thought, well, it's a continued connection in New York. But I mean, obviously the connection didn't last for all the obvious reasons. But even after the connection lapsed, the fact that like Randall Cobb was like more impactful and he was horrible last year, like just blows my mind. Like the fact that Lazard was basically deactivated the last few games of the season, and you know, Robert Saleh's like take on the whole matter when he was asked about it is like, he's going to be here for a while. It's like, yeah, cause the salary cap says so. Yeah. Cause no one will take this guy. And he's an albatross around our neck. So yeah, that was good work there. All right. Tristan Colon, what do you got? What do you got there? Mr. Travis.
I'm going to go ahead and make my initial statement on Wes Schweitzer kind of boilerplate when it comes to any offensive line signings that we've made last year.
All right, fair enough.
And that includes Tristan Colon, definitely. God, dude, what a fucking shit show. Yeah, I don't think I can top what I said about Schweitzer. And to be honest, I would take Tristan Colon over Schweitzer.
Wow. All right. I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So yeah, let's keep moving because we got to get through. We got to get to the real meat on this, which is the new guys. So all right, this is a good one. I know you're ready for this one, Joshy. Thomas Morstead, punter extraordinaire, sprinter. What do we got?
Tommy Punts. That's our guy. He knocked Braden Mann off the field, came back this year on another new contract. Listen, I love a punter who's got a little bit of personality. He was all over X on free agent signing day, pumped to be back with the Jets. Anyone that wants to be here is high on my list. He's also very good at what he does. Love it. Loved it then. Love it now. Yeah, very happy with our friend Tommy Punts.
Josh, anybody? I refer to him as the Grizzly Bear. Because dude's got all the riz to back up that leg.
He does got some riz.
Bear. Oh man, he's not skibbity, is what you're telling me. He's not skibbity.
Yeah, so.
All right. Okay, this is a good one. All right. Show tunes. Solomon Thomas, defensive tackle, joined the Jets last year. I'm going to take this one. What? Didn't like it?
I love Solly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. You said you loved it. Okay. I was going to say, I thought it was a great signing, locker room guy, kind of captain, you know, kind of type player, you know, came in, was good for culture, was great rotationally too, you know, played well all year. So and he's back, right? So we'll talk about that in a second. All right. Greg, the leg, what do you think about that one, Joshy?
Yeah, 35 of 38 from field goals, was very, very good from 40 yards and up. We got to put him in more positions to actually, you know, get some points on the board for us, which hopefully with a healthy quarterback and a rebuilt offensive line this year, we do. I'm glad he signed and glad that we have him back again this year. Happy with our punting situation and kicking situation.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Last for you, Mr. Travis, Quincy Williams, the other Williams brother. I mean, he had a year.
He is the screen on my phone.
Whoa, look at that.
He was my first jersey pickup last year. I loved this guy. I think last year I talked about the fact that he had, 12-year-old Travis would have been his hero because 12-year-old Travis's favorite baseball player was Jose Canseco. And leading up to last year, Quincy Williams was the Jose Canseco of linebackers. It was boom or fucking bust. Like, it was either going to be a home run or it was going to be a strikeout. Like, he was going to destroy someone, or it was going to be the worst attempt ever. But
you're right.
I love the guy.
Has there been definitive science on how anabolic steroids affect your blinking? Because nobody in this world blinks more than Jose Canseco.
Sure, that was the cocaine.
He's blinking every couple seconds.
If you ever watched him like walk up to the plate, lots of blinking. There was always this. There was always
and a lot of just very active hands.
That was the cocaine.
Cocaine. Yeah, that was either the greenies. Yes, that's that was the greenies or the cocaine. It was all the scratching. Yeah. The
thing you don't know about me, Joe Rogan. I smoke rock.
I don't know if anybody saw who's the Irish MMA guy? What's his name?
Conor McGregor.
I don't know if you saw him at the Roadhouse premiere. Jeez. Wow.
I saw him going to the sneaker place and trying to get Jake Gyllenhaal to buy a pair of Air Mags.
Oh. Well, there you go. I mean, there's that.
We'll give him that.
Sensible shoe. Right.
I read a review of Roadhouse real quick that said the only thing. So before you watch Roadhouse, the new one, the old one and then go to bed. Complete before go watching the new one. Just go to bed
after Roadhouse. You got to go find your nearest dive bar and pick a fight.
I have to say, like, one of my favorite lines in that movie is, are my kids? Yeah, my kids are home, but they're not around. One of my favorite lines is, at the end when he's fighting the evil henchman, the head henchman, you know, tough guy. And they're kind of like, they're right on the edge of the lake. And the bad guy says, I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
I use that line every time I've been in a fist fight. It confuses people so much. They're like, what is going to happen now? Does this dude want...
The first half of that sentence really could have gone anywhere. The second half, I'm glad, didn't land within the kitchen or with my staff.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a brilliant tactic. It's just never going to work on Patrick Swayze. I mean...
Yeah, he's
it's kind of like dropping your pants during a fight, like...
Right. What's up?
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do then? Like, dude, just drop this paint. Like, what's happening now?
Are we going to make out? Like, what's happening?
It's mind games. Yeah. Mind games, y'all.
So, so anyway, as one of the greatest lines in cinematic history ever. It's unparalleled. All right. So if you were to give an emoji to the 2023 class, guys, what do you got? Josh, you got an emoji for us?
I'd go the green squeamish. I'm about to throw up face. Bro, we didn't know it then. We felt a little rumble in the tummy, but we thought it was adrenaline. Turns out it was vicious. Norovirus trying to get out of our system last year. So yeah, green and squeamish. Not a good look. Not a good look a year later.
Travis, do you have an emoji for us?
I'm looking at them. I'm going to go ahead and just say that I'm going with. It's either going to be the toilet emoji or the shrimp emoji, because this shrimp looks overcooked and shitty.
It is a bad looking shrimp.
Yeah, that is a bad looking shrimp, man. Like, I'm going with the shrimp. That is a bad looking shrimp. It makes me sick. Like, I had some bad shrimp.
I'm going to go emoji combo of crying, like sobbing, the lines down under the eyes, and then like face palm. So I'm gonna go.
You know what? I'm gonna go
crying
with
face palm. Okay,
I have to go with a CD because it was just fucking useless. No one even knows what to do with a CD anymore.
Right? What do you do with
the old school microphone? The 1940s microphone.
I know it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, to the 2023 New York Jets season.
You plug it into your Iowa 3-disc changer that you have on the top of your dresser. I know you guys had an Iowa. I know you had an Iowa.
I have a 6-disc, baby. 6-disc.
Oh, dang. Okay. All right.
I had the Iowa Walkman, the Walkman ripoff, like the Reebok version of a Sony Walkman. That's what I had.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced, from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beat brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to RadioBeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's RadioBeats.com, code DEAL.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
This year. There's always next year. That's the name of this podcast. Okay, so let's go, guys. All right, Travis, you're going to get the first one out of the blocks here. The big one, the granddaddy of them all, Tyron Smith, left tackle. 1 year contract. What do you think?
Love it. I think thematically it's a good way to start too, because the bulk of this draft, or I'm sorry, this free agent class, like there's a lot of risk. I think, you know, there is some risk, durability risk with Tyron Smith, but my God, if you just watch his tape, even of last year, like, I mean, he is dominant, like some of the most beautiful footwork in the world. He is smart. He is exactly what we need if he is healthy and can be healthy all year. I'm really, really hoping that we push for some depth behind him, but he is not just a breath of fresh air. He is a complete and utter game changer on that line.
Josh, thoughts on Smith?
It's another boom or bust. Like if there's a guy that again is going to be needed for us, if we're going to go as far as he goes, if he can't stay on the field, we're in rough shape. If he's on the field and playing, you know, even close to what we saw all those years in Dallas, it could be an exciting year. But again, there are risks. I mean, he's been around a long time. It's boom or bust. I agree. Same exact feel as Trev. Yeah.
He's not DeBrick, right? Like he's not a guy who typically historically plays every game. So, you know, there's kind of a two-sided nature to it, right? So who's behind him, right? Which we'll get to a little later. Who's gonna be playing behind him? Because that has to factor into this at some level. But then also, right? You know, our old friends on the athletic training staff, do they look at this guy and be like, we can get this guy out for the season in two games, like no problem, like no problem. We've got a plan to get this guy on the bench in two games because we are so bad at conditioning, like.
There's not a single person on our line that we could say is anywhere remotely on like DeBrick level of consistently being there. Like, I mean, even Tippmann had, you know, he missed like what, four games last year. I mean, it's very tenuous at best what this line is looking like. Like I love the signings. I think there's a lot of potential in them, but I
there's no way looking at this historically, I can go, yep, we're fucking good, man. This is great.
Margins are great. We've got great backup. There's tons of margin for error here, or, you know, mistake or injury or whatever. There's not, like, paper, it's good, but, you know, how often does it actually play out that you see all those guys play 17 games over the course of the season? Highly unlikely. Another guy who had some injury issues last year joins the Jets as a wide receiver, Josh, Mike Williams, formerly of the Chargers, a guy who took a while to break out, but had some incredible play, you know, later in his career, paired with Justin Herbert, obviously always played in the shadow of Keenan Allen, you know, a phenomenal wide receiver, but he gets a 1-year deal worth reportedly up to $15 million, but there's a lot of incentives in this contract. So it's kind of a 1-year prove it deal. And then, you know, we'll see where we go from there. So yeah, what thoughts do you have on Williams?
Yeah, I don't have a ton of, I'm keeping all of my expectations very reasonable for him because of the injury history. I think it just came out a couple of days ago. He may not be ready for minicamp, and that's also super concerning. You know, bringing, you know, there are so many guys coming off of major injuries on this team or have dealt with injuries in the last year that any time missed is going to be really, really hard to overcome. We know how specific Aaron Rodgers is with timing and routes and what he wants guys doing. Mike Williams is a pro. He's been around, you know, good quarterback play. He's been able to play. But the missed time piece ahead of training camp is a bummer, that he's not fully ready to go yet. It'd be hard for him to hit most of those incentives, you know, 1,000-yard seasons, 100 catches. I don't think we're going to see him revert back to 3 or 4 years ago, in terms of his production, especially in an offense that should still be running the football a lot, a little bit different than what they're running out in LA. But, I like him, and I think there will be games where we're really happy we have him. And then there may be stretches where we forget that he's even on the team. I think he always had that kind of boomer bust feel in that Charger offense as well. It was a lot of Keenan Allen, a lot of Eckler out of the backfield. And I think that's kind of what he's looking at again, is a lot of Garrett Wilson and a lot of Breece Hall out of the backfield. So, if he's healthy, it's awesome. And if he's able to play more than 12 games this year, I'll be very pleasantly surprised.
Travis, thoughts on Williams?
Yeah, I have zero expectations for him. I wasn't all that excited about this signing because of exactly what Josh was saying. Like, so any net positive off him being there is just a cherry on top of a sundae to me. Like, I really think that we're in the position where there's a lot of potential in the signings that we made, but until we get some valuable and good depth behind them, these signings for the most part don't mean jack shit to me.
Yeah, I think what I like about it, you're right. Like, it's tenuous. What I like about the Williams signing is that, like, it takes the pressure off Lazard. You know, Lazard is healthy, right? Like, he's as healthy as a guy who was benched can be. It takes a little pressure out of that number two spot. So I do like that. And right, to Josh and your points, like, if he can play 12 games, that's great, right? If he winds up between 40 and 50 catches, like, I'll consider that like a good season. And then, right, he's going to take some coverages away from Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson is still going to be the guy that's bracketed and, you know, paid attention to and schemed against. Garrett Wilson's fantastic, so he can deal with that. But any hesitation or any looking on to the other side of the field, if Williams is over there, is going to be helpful, especially, you know, when the field gets short in the gold zone. That's where I love gold. So I think Williams could be really helpful there. He's, you know, big bodied guy, you know, 50-50 ball kind of guy. So I don't hate it. Like, and it's kind of a, you know, me, right. Maybe he's not ever going to get the same speed he had before the ACL. But so he can be kind of this kind of slot, tight end type person, in the scheme. So he's not a tight end, let me be clear, but like, that's something that he could effectively use for kind of like a move. They could, you know, kind of scheme him up like you'd use a move or something like that. So, anyway, yeah, I'm interested in it. I don't hate it. The other thing that I'll just quickly say is, they didn't expend draft capital. Like, they don't have that second round pick, which is really valuable. And, you know, there was talk about T. Higgins, and yeah, I like T. Higgins a lot. I think T. Higgins is a great player, but not at the cost of a first, or, you know, maybe even like, maybe I'd be okay with trading T if you get to the, you know, you move to the back of the round or something like that, but it's not something I'm trying to do. So they don't, you know, so anyway, without that second rounder, I was really hesitant for them to move a first for T. Higgins, just because of what that might mean. And then there's a contract that needs to be sorted out and all that. So I do like the fact that it's like, let's just throw money at this problem and hopefully it'll, you know, work itself out between what we have on the team. All right, moving on. Another former Niner defensive player comes to the Jets, Javon Kinlaw, apparently a very jolly fellow, is going to be joining the Jets. He's going to be joining the Jets. Any thoughts there, boys?
I'm stoked just for the possibility of seeing him going up against some of the media guys. Like, I can't wait to hear what he has to say when Samini or Costello have a very pointed question towards him that's unflattering, based off of what I saw in San Francisco. Outside of that, like, the guy doesn't really excite me. I think that I think we went overboard, and this might be indicative of something that we all don't want to hear. The amount of signings we made for the defensive line rotation was, you know, some of this was going to have to happen because of Bryce Huff leaving, but you know, this really makes you wonder how much faith is there in Will McDonald right now? Like, are they this worried that, you know, we're re-signing multiple people? They tried to re-sign Quentin Jefferson. Like, they brought Solly back, which, like I said, was a good deal for, you know, I love that one. But, but Kinlaw, you know, nothing about him screams like, you know, that the cheers or, you know, I think it's fine, but it really does make me wonder about where McDonald is in his development.
It's a good word, right? Any thoughts there, Josh?
Just I'm going to double what Brian just shared. The week where Michael Clemens has a strip sack and Kinlaw has an interception, and the media has to see both of them and ask them questions, is going to be must see TV. Just back to back, Michael Clemens right into Javon Kinlaw, because the media is going to be terrified to ask either of them a question. I can't wait for that.
I feel like it's going to be like an outtake from Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon, like somebody trying to talk to Show Nuff.
Yes.
All right. Well, yeah, they had to plug some holes there. It's fine. It's fine. Right. I've been a big proponent of let the defense decay a little bit and, you know, just spend more money on the offensive line or whatever, but so be it. Yeah. They Stala wants his guys. Okay. So, and that's fine. So, all right. This is a big one. I don't know how he feels about pizza, but Tyrod Taylor, quarterback, most recently, he's been all over the league, 34 years old, but he's most recently been with the Giants. Thoughts on Tyrod Taylor, Travis?
Tyrod Taylor is like that. I liken him to a background soldier in like Predator. Like, dude has been through some shit. Dude freaking like punctured his lung. If I remember right, like he has broken so many ribs. I remember him playing in Virginia Tech, like taking some really big hits. Dude has been through some shit, but like I just in my mind see him like, you know, Rodgers goes down, you know, inevitably at some point, and they look to Tyrod and he's like, do you think I'd miss this party? You know, some kind of like really it's like maybe one liner, and dude goes in and just rocks it.
I thought you were gonna go culinary. I'll go culinary. Tyrod Taylor is the Thursday Sloppy Joe's that was Tuesday's hamburgers.
Yeah.
Like he's metal tray school lunch sloppy joes, and it tastes a little bit off, but there's enough ketchup and barbecue sauce to make you throw you off the scent a little bit. But you know you're gonna if you eat too much of it, you know you're gonna be in the bathroom later. That's the deal. Is if we get too much to Rod Taylor, we're all pooping our guts out again.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than what they had, I guess is what I'll say. Like, clearly Tim Boyle was not the guy. And we know what Zach is or is not. So they needed something. He's a guy who comes in, right? He's a high paid backup. That's fine. And he's a guy who can start a few games and not necessarily lose you those games, right? He's not necessarily going to win you games and, you know, be a comeback, you know, 2 minute down 4 points and going to get you that touchdown at the end of the game, but he's enough and he's better than what they had. He's Knuff. That's right. I do worry because he went to Virginia Tech, like we might have to have a conversation about Chinello's pizza and like whether he considers that pizza or not. We have a conversation about that. So,
how did this dude literally go 12 years in the NFL with people pronouncing his first name wrong? And finally, like 2 years ago, he's like, yo, it's not Tyrod. I'm not a car. It's Tyrod.
I think he might just be the entire
national media calling you Brian instead of Brian for 12 years. Yeah. Like, dude, enough.
I think he's just a very, you know, humble, gentle man, and he doesn't want to upset people, right? He might be like semi-Canadian. Maybe he's got some Canadian family. He's just like, oh, sorry, I don't want to offend you. Sorry. So it might be some of that. But yeah, he did finally just be like, all right, enough. My name is not Tyrod. I'm not something you use on a car. Exactly. All right. They brought back a couple guys. We can kind of whip through some of these. I'm going to list them out here. Solomon Thomas, who we talked about earlier. Thomas Morstead. Greg the Leg is back. I think that – oh, Chuck Clark. He's back. He's new. Is he back?
I was hoping we were going to pause there. Yeah. Yeah, he's back. I love this. I love Chuck Clark. I think, again – The knee injury thing, I just like Chuck Clark. And if he's healthy, he's a guy that I think is starter caliber safety in this league. I think he could be in a Jordan Whitehead position of a lot of interceptions, that not necessarily from his coverage, but the coverage that we're getting from our corners, and can jump a lot of routes. He's going to be able to take a lot of risks, and often be rewarded. So I really like Chuck Clark a lot. I also just like saying Chuck Clark, so there's that.
Chuck Clark.
CC.
Any thoughts on those guys? CC's. There?
Speaking of good pizza.
I like Chuck Clark, and to be honest, like the safety position is not that important to me. Outside of they need to fucking re-sign my boy. Like Ashton Davis, he's still out there floating in the wind. You know, it was a really good point that Josh just made. Like, I'm not as concerned about the safety position as I have been in past years because our cornerback situation, you know, DJ and Sauce, like they really, really help out and make it a little bit easier for those guys in the middle. So signing Chuck Clark, I think, you know, is low risk. I think it's great. You know, everyone knows my feelings on Whitehead. Like Jordan Whitehead fucking blows, and if he can get, you know, six interceptions or whatever he got last year in this defense, like Chuck Clark can more than do better than that.
Yeah, and I mean it does show some potential, interest or belief or trust or whatever you want to say in Tony Adams. Really, it's going to depend on what happens in the draft. You know, kind of who they get. Let's say day two, early day three. We'll see how that all plays out. I would expect Ashton will come back. Generally, a player like him, I think they like him. But they basically said, look, we'll pay you, you know, a minimum contract or something like that. If you can get something else, like, you know, show us a contract in hand from some other team that's above that, let's talk. Like, but we would like you to return. But like, you're going to have to go get above, you know, a minimum contract. So I would imagine there's something like that playing out. I would not be surprised to see him come back before, you know, June camps or something like that, just because, and it ends up being, you know, kind of a quiet deal. So, all right, other players in the mix here, and let's just get through them real quick because I do have to go in a couple minutes, but I do want to talk a little bit about that number 10 pick. Anything specifically on John Simpson, guard, yeah, and then Lakey Fotu, defensive player, defensive tackle.
Yeah, guard Simpson, market. Guard market, yeah, was the Bitcoin of this free agent. My goodness, shot through the moon.
Simpson's a slight upgrade over Lakin Tomlinson. Not much. I feel like that's very much a lateral move, but we had to make it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, but I mean, it certainly plugs a hole there, and yeah, it just gives us more optionality. So, which I like. All right. Quickly, let's talk about the 10th pick. What are our fears? What are our hopes? Josh, I'm going to start with you.
My fears are twofold. One is any attempt to move up and try to get one of the two receivers, or for some weird reason, trying to move up, feeling like the tackle they really want is not going to be there at 10. My other fear is, and I don't know why, Brock Bowers, it's a tight end. It's, you know, it's kind of H-back. I get it. Like, he can do a lot of stuff. He feels to me like Dallas Clark. Like, it just, like, there seems to be some Dallas Clark to him. Is he going to be one of these guys 20 years from now? It's like, man, UGA, Brock Bowers, like, it's like talking about a really great, like, it's Jimmer Fredette. Like, he was really awesome in college. He dominated. Oh my gosh. How did it not work out in the pros? And you're like, because he's Jimmer Fredette. Like, yeah, like, name any NCAA, Sean May, like any NCAA guy that you were like, this guy's going to eat. Glenn Davis, like, all these guys are going to do so good in the pros. And then they're just not that guy at the professional level. So I don't want Brock Bowers. I just stay here, take Joe Alt, take one of the top tackles that falls to us at 10, and just be ho-hum. Just be boring. Build that offensive line. It is, like we've been saying, we've been patching it, trying to patch it for 2 years. You actually have to build that thing through the draft, take Joe Alt, and plug him in next year as a starter for the next 10 years. That's my hope.
All right. Travis? Hopes and fears?
Hopes, any of the top three or four linemen. I love all of them pretty much equally, whether it be Alt or, God, who else? Any of them, to Blaga, be honest.
Like, Fashanu.
Fashanu I love. I'm be stoked about that. The Brock Bowers scares the hell out of me. I think the biggest thing that scares me is the trade up or trade down. I would like to trade down. And get someone like Fashanu and, you know, maybe pick up another pick somewhere, round two, something. My biggest scare is that they're going to trade down a bunch and they're going to do exactly what the Jets always do to me. Number one, not pick an offensive lineman in the first round. But number two, do something dumb like get Jerzon Newton out of Illinois, like a defensive tackle that is, to be honest, a perfect fit for the defense, but we don't freaking need him.
We don't need more defensive tackles, please God, not another defensive
tackle. Is my that or trading back slightly and getting a cornerback, I think, are two options that I could see them doing, that I really scare the shit out of me, because there's been no talks with DJ Reed that I'm aware of to extend, which I think really needs to happen. So I'm afraid that they're going to continue to gloss over the offensive line in the draft and just keep band-aiding it, and we're just going to keep riding this shit show.
Yeah. I think I feel along the same lines as you all. Like, for Brock Bowers is fantastic. He's a great player. He's going to be exciting. I think he's going to be exciting somewhere in the pros. But if you know enough to know tight ends, and like their kind of production careers in the NFL, it's, you know, if you look at it, generally, those guys are not hitting their stride until year three. So to draft a guy like Brock Bowers at 10 effectively means he needs to be Travis Kelce. And Travis Kelce wasn't even Travis Kelce. Now, you know, he had questions coming out of school, and you know, he wasn't the player that, you know, the Chiefs turned him into. There was also like the microfracture issue. I can't remember if that was going into the draft or if that happened like over the summer where he got that surgery. So he basically, like, his rookie year was a wash, but no one thought Travis Kelce was Travis Kelce until he was Travis Kelce, and he was not drafted at 10, right? So Sam Laporta, not drafted at 10. Like, the only guys that go this high are generally disappointment. So, like, the downside for a player like Bowers is so real to draft
Kyle him at Brady. 10.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, like, Hunter Henry, you know, all of them.
Yeah, I mean, all of them. You just on and on and on and on.
Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts, exactly. He's the most recent example. Like, you have to be Travis Kelce to make that draft, like, the value that you're giving up at that point work. Otherwise, you're just basically lighting, you know, $1 million on fire, or a lot more than $1 million, but you get my point. So to me, like, I like him. He's great, but at 10, absolutely not. You've got to move back to make something like that worthwhile. And so, yeah, I'm just a big believer that, like, you know, I'm just looking at, like, these, you know, there are all these kind of like aggregators, draft aggregators. And so, yeah, the way things kind of play out just by how often is this person in this, you know, like, if you averaged it up, you know, where would they land across many mock drafts? You know, the guys that are gone by the time you get to 10 are just from an aggregation standpoint. So not, you know, obviously not the reality. Neighbors, Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, Alt, Turner, who we don't care about, right? Verse, who we don't care about, then Brock Bowers. The guys that are on the aggregators behind him are JJ McCarthy, no thanks, Bo Nix, super no thanks, and then Talisi Fuaga and Fashanu, and then Fatanu as well. Like, so now I see those guys, one or two or three of those guys jumping into the top 10, but one of those players, Fuaga, Fashanu, Fatanu, should be there. I have guys that I like more than others, but personally, like, I would much rather do that because of all the things we talked about, Tyron Smith, and just like his availability and like whether he's going to be available to us or not. So, we'll talk more. We're going to talk more. Like, you know, we're a month out from the draft, so we will get back together over the next couple weeks here to talk draft. But like, I think just high level, the way I'm feeling right now is like, Brock Bowers is fine if it's at 14 or 18, but not at 10. Like, not no. Certainly not at 10, and like certainly not if any of those guys are on the board. Even if you move back to 14 or whatever, and he's still on the board, like, you got to take that. You got to take that tackle. So, but yeah, like, I can understand if you want an Odunze. Like, I'm here to listen to that because he's a great player. But man, all right, I have to roll. I know you guys do too. Thank you for your time. Listeners, thank you as well. Make sure to rate and review. We'll be back soon. Guys, what week or two? You guys want to get back and talk more about the draft a couple times before the draft?
Yes.
Draft day comes. All right. Okay, cool. We will do that. So thanks. And everybody, thanks for listening. And we will talk to you very soon.